Good morning, fellow Christians. I hope and pray that what I say here today, you will take and place it in your heart and try your best to work through all of the maybe problems that you have in your life. Always pray constantly to the Lord, for He is your Savior. He's the only one that can save you. Our God's an awesome God. He created this world in 6 days. Imagine that. 6 days. On the seventh day, God rested. He created man. He created the air that you breathe. Every day that you walk about the face of this earth and you breathe this air, God did that. Believe in Him always. Keep Him in your heart. And above all things, trust Him. Because what He says, He will do. Now as I begin my talk for today, I've got to get my reading glasses on so I can read a little bit. Before I start on my lesson, I would like to maybe give you a little brief detail of the background of my life. It's going to be short because I'm not up here to talk about me. But I do want you to know that what I'm going to speak about today, some of it, well, most of it, I have lived through. I was drafted into the military and became a military soldier at the age of 19. I did not really know what to expect that to mean to me, because at the age of 19, you don't really know. However, I soon realized that being a military soldier was going to be stressful at times, which it was, even through training. I completed my basic training at Fort Polk, Louisiana. I continued there at Fort Polk, Louisiana with advanced infantry training, which at that time was also called Tigerland. Tigerland was in preparation for a soldier going to Vietnam, fighting in Vietnam. Believe me, the training that we had at Fort Polk, Louisiana helped out some. But when you actually got to Vietnam, the training didn't really prepare you for what you were going to see and do. I fought in Vietnam, but at this time I will not discuss any of these battles that I fought in. If you would like to hear about any of those, I can talk with you later. But that's not, I'm not talking about it here today. I have over time learned to let go of many of these things that I witnessed and did. And after returning from Vietnam, unfortunately, my life changed for quite a while. I was lost. The people of our country did not even respect us whatsoever when we returned. My friends were gone. They avoided me. They avoided all of us. And I lost my way for a period of time. I had no purpose. I had no desire to accomplish anything of value. And I had turned away from God, which I am so very sorry to say to you today. But I did. My life at that point in time was in shambles. With no direction, this continued for several years. As those, especially in this audience today, know, and they can confirm these things for you. However, I do not know how or why But I truly understand that something inside me knew that I was on the wrong path. Because before I went to Vietnam, I had faith in God. I loved God. Through many months of studying and listening, I realized that either God found me, I found Him. I prefer that He found me, okay? And I knew through studying that God would forgive me of my sins. And in the end, if I believed in Him and worked for Him and prayed to Him and understood that Christ died for my sins, that He'd forgive me. I banked my life on that. I was baptized at Woodland Hills Church of Christ in Conroe, Texas. I haven't went very far from home. And I have continued to study and be thankful for God's forgiveness. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. You have to trust Christ. He's the only way. Okay, enough about me. It's just a little short history of where I stand and what I'm about to say today, because I've been through some of this stuff. My opening statement, and this is this lesson is in my title, it said, Through the Eyes of a Soldier. Okay? Parts of this I relate to a lot of the things that I went through in my past. And I'm just trying to cover the basis of what God said and what He did throughout the Old Testament. God was all-powerful, and He fought many battles for the people. He was very, I guess you would say, involved in a lot of the battles. He won many of them for the people. I am a soldier. I am retired from the military. And being in service to our country, my thoughts and statements at this point relate to my military service. That being said, I hope to encourage you today to become a soldier for Christ. That's the most important topic. Become a soldier for Christ. Fight for Him. We need it today. In some ways, the military soldier and the soldier for Christ are intertwined in similar ways. Military soldiers fight for their country and freedom. Their battles are fought at the expense of flesh and blood. Okay? Remember that. Military soldier battles are fought for flesh and blood. Military soldiers follow orders from generals, majors, captains, lieutenants, and sometimes sergeants. That's in the field. Their battles are fought at the expense, like I said, of flesh and blood. Their purpose is to win wars and battles. At times, the plans that were made by these generals, or whatever they are, fail. At that time, you have to retreat and come back at a later time whenever your plans and your goals are set better than what they were before. We are all soldiers to one extent or another. Every one of us. We each strive to be responsible citizens, parents, mothers, and fathers. Now take that in. Parents, mothers, and fathers. We strive each day to keep our children safe. I feel that desire is in all of us. We want our children safe. And we must teach them about God and about His strength and His forgiveness, and help them to understand and learn that He is the hope of their soul. He will save their soul. So we need to teach them. We need to be responsible for that. This desire that I'm talking about is usually instilled in us during our childhood from our parents, from most of our parents, which in turn prepares us for service in the military. No matter what we do, there must be a plan to follow. If your plans are not solid and based on firm ground, they will change. You will have to adapt. You will have to change your life. You will have to do certain things that you're not comfortable with. It takes endurance. It takes courage to carry out this journey that we're on. Teach your children to have courage in everything that they do, and they will endure. They'll get through all of this. All of these problems that we're going through today. You got to teach them. They will endure it. They will get through it. As long as they hold steadfastly to Christ and His salvation, they'll get through it. That's the way our children are. They're pretty strong. But it depends on how they're taught. Okay. My thoughts concerning the military soldier. Duty. Steadfastness. Remember these. Common goals. Reliability. Dedication. Bravery. Valor and willingness to serve. Valor in this statement is the least of all of them, okay? That's just an award that somebody gives to a soldier that's done certain things. That's the least of it. The best part of the whole thing is you have to have the duty, the steadfastness, the reliability, and the willingness to serve. Now concerning these battles of flesh and blood, in the Old Testament, many battles were fought. I will mention a few of them. In Exodus 14, let's see, where'd I put my Bible? In Exodus 14, 14 through 16, if you would like to follow along. The Lord said to Moses, "Lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea." Now Moses himself did not enter into this battle. All he did was do what God told him to raise up the rod and part the sea. Now we all know that Moses never got to cross across and go to the promised land that God gave him. So we know the results of that situation. Now in Exodus 17... verses 8 through 16. This is a little more lengthy reading. Exodus 17, verse 8 through 16. There were 12,000 soldiers from all the tribes of Israel, armed for war. They were armed for war. They slew all of the males and the kings of Midian. They slew them with the sword. That's flesh and blood, folks. That's the battles that they fought. With God's help, they fought many. Judges chapter 1 and verse 4. Judah slew in this battle against the Canaanites in Bezek 10,000 men with the sword. He slew them. That's flesh and blood. That's the battles that were fought then. So no matter what we do, we got to understand that back then the battles that were fought were flesh and blood. I mean, people were really slaughtered and killed. That's the way it was back then. But God did intervene and help through a lot of the battles, and a lot of times you will find out later that He actually helped them. Joshua 8, chapter 8, verses 3 through 8. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests and Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Okay, what is this telling us right now? Follow God. Follow His plan. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have had a leader like God in all of the battles that we've fought in this country? It would be wonderful. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way henceforth. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourself. Because God will do the wonders. He will fight for the people. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. The ark of the covenant goes over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. Now he's talking to Joshua here. He's going to magnify him in the sight of the people of Israel. That they may know, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So what God's telling him here is, he was with Moses at one time, and he fought for Moses. And that now he was going to be fighting for him, and he was going to raise him up in the sight of the people. Said, when ye are come back to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. A few more references to this battle is in Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Here he states, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him. He wasn't afraid. He walked up to this guy and said to him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? In Joshua chapter 6, verse 5 through 17, 27. This is a pretty long reading. I'll try to get through it quickly. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down. And this is kind of strange. Why would just the shout from the people bring a wall down? Because God told them that's what was going to happen. And there was a certain way that they had to do this. They had to follow God's plan. Anyway, the wall shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of man, called the priest and said unto them, Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets. Of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed. Okay, now we're talking about soldiers that are armed. He said, Let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. There were soldiers there. They were armed. They were ready to fight. Anyway, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. In verse 9, And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. That's going to be a battle. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. They went around the city one time. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day, verse 14, they compassed the city once and returned into camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout. There's the plan. Shout. Use your voice. Shout. For the Lord hath given you the city. Now, who fought this battle? God gave the city to the people, but there were soldiers there that actually fought in that battle. They actually did what God had told them that they needed to do. So, you know, there's our soldiers again. Anyway, verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. They previously sent messengers in, and this woman housed them, kept it secret. You know, they had to have the spies in there. And ye, in, if ye in any way keep for yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye yourselves be accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So all of the things that were of value, they took out, gave it to the Lord. Gold, silver, everything. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight forward before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. They destroyed all that was in the city. That encompasses a whole lot of things. Both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep, and ass with the edge of a sword. Everyone in the city died that day. This might be a little bit hard for me to be saying this, because I know there are children here. But these are facts. These are things that happen. And our children need to understand that. And some of us adults need to understand that. The history of a lot of these things that we have gone through is important. And the Old Testament provides a lot of that history for us. So study the Old Testament. Anyway, but in verse 22, Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied on the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot, kept her alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. Now, I'm not talking about today, okay? Talking about during the time whenever the city was destroyed. She lived in Israel at that time, or in Jericho. And Joshua, in verse 26, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15 kind of describes a little bit about the battle of Jerusalem. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He said, I'm taking care of you. You're going to win this battle. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. They're actually going to get to see the salvation of the Lord that he provides for us. So they just stood still and they watched. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And as I've said, I think throughout this, there's many more battles that are documented in the Old Testament that you can go back and read about. Many more battles were fought. I've only went through just a little bit of them. Now I'm going to try to go into Christ, Jesus Christ. Christ brought about a ministry that was a fight for men's souls. It wasn't for flesh and blood. He was fighting for the souls of men. He taught redemption, faith, forgiveness, and the promise of eternal life through him for all that believed, for all that confessed their sins to him. He could save them. That's what Christ does. That's what he did. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That was Paul speaking. Okay? He knew he was a sinner, but he was also a disciple of Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Christ didn't come to destroy this earth. He came to protect it. He came to protect you. He gave his life on the cross for you. His blood was shed for you. My Christian friends, read this. Let it seep into your heart. Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you. Always remember that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You got to repent. You got to get rid of those sins. Repent of those sins. Get rid of them. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, it kind of narrows it down to really one statement. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Do everything you can to follow God's will. Follow what he's laid out there for you. Read it. It's there. Put it to work for you. Now, in conclusion, I would like to discuss with you the subject of becoming a soldier for Christ. I told you now, I was a soldier at the beginning. I'm still a soldier. Took a lot of time for me. Hopefully it don't take a whole lot of time for you. But for me, it took a lot of time from where I was at that point. To me, I think there are four keys to becoming a soldier for Christ. First, we must be dedicated. We are called to be good soldiers. The flag we wave under this circumstance is the flag of heaven. Okay? We're soldiers for Christ right now. Second Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. This is Paul speaking. He said, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And he's writing this to his son Timothy. Okay? To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God. Okay? You got grace, you got mercy, and you got peace. Where does it come from? God. He's the only one. Okay? He's a great and awesome God. He's given us everything. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers at night and day. Now he's still talking to his son. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. That was just a statement from Paul to his son. Second, do not become discouraged. Okay? In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. go up and possess it. As the Lord God of fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Don't be discouraged about what you might be looking at. A forceful army out there in front of you, whatever it might be. Don't become discouraged about it. God's there to help you. We must prepare for conflict at all times of the day. In the wee hours of the morning or late at night, when you lay down to sleep and you're laying there and you halfway fall asleep and something comes to your mind and wakes you up, be aware of all things. A good soldier never thinks about quitting. You in a battle? You're debating against someone? Don't ever quit. Make sure you finish. Finish with what you have to say. Because in a lot of cases, your opinion is well worth it. Third, we must be deliberate. Do not be distracted about things going on in this life. Focus your thoughts on Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Oh, my Lord, have we seen any of this here lately? There will be wolves in sheep's clothing, folks. They will try to lead you away from God, which they did to me. Thank God I came back. I'm so happy about that. And I know God forgives sins, okay? That's a fact. In Hebrews, if you would like to turn there, it's chapter 10 and verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. If God made a promise, you can just about guarantee, as a matter of fact, I know you can guarantee, he's going to do it. He told you he was going to do it. He will do it. Believe in Christ. Stand up for him. Be a good soldier. And we must fight to the end. We can't stop in the middle. These battles that we fight today for the souls of men are continuous. It's on a daily basis. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Okay, let that sink in a little bit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Being a good soldier for Christ requires effort. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Put on the whole armor of God. Understand his word. Understand what he is telling you in his word. Stand up and fight for Christ. He needs us. He forgives you of your sins. He's the only one that you can go to. And ain't nobody here on this earth can help you. God's the only one. Pray to Him. Ask Him. He'll forgive you. As soldiers for Christ, we must continue the cause for Christ, lift His banner high, and not let it suffer loss. We are in the Lord's army, and as His soldiers, we earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. The faith once delivered to the saints. Read it. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Christians are soldiers for Christ. This is something that's very unique, because in heaven, war is over. Okay? Fight the good fight. Keep the faith. Praise God for everything He's done for you. Ask Him for forgiveness of your sins. There's something unique to me in this life about being a soldier for Christ. However, at times there is a temptation to view the aspect of a Christian being a soldier with a little bit of doubt, maybe hesitation. What I mean with this point is, sometimes older Christians, such as I, look at the idea of battle, spiritual battle, and being a soldier. It could be a little overzealous at times. Maybe somewhat romantic. You know, there are good things about it, but that's just me. I have referred to myself as an older Christian, yet I am still a soldier. There are still battles to be fought, to be won. Spiritual battles are continuous. We must be willing to fight the good fight. Battles are not a romantic thing. They're really not. They are recorded throughout the Bible. And as you can read, that's what I read today is not romantic, is it? I don't think so. The war that we're fighting now is not one of flesh and blood. Instead, it is for the souls of men. The battle we fight now is between God's kingdom and the kingdom of darkness. We must put on the whole armor of God to fight these battles. To be a soldier for Christ requires that you are using the Word of God against the devil, preaching the truth, the word, and spreading the gospel everywhere. This, my brothers and sisters, is the war we are called to enter. In Ephesians 6:11 through 18, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I repeated this, which I had mentioned earlier, because it is very important that you understand that. You got to keep up the fight. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil of the day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith. There it is. Have faith. Believe in God. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Okay? Study the Word. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, Paul wrote this to the Ephesians. It was a letter to them. So this is kind of the conclusion of what I've been talking about. But I do want to read a few other scriptures if I have time. You must have faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay. You don't have faith? Read God's word. It's there. Then you'll understand what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. Let's have the faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works. Okay? It's a gift from God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 10. And this is the last reading. We can get out of here. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raises him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the Lord over all is rich unto him that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's verse 13. That pretty well closes out what I've tried to get across to you. Become a soldier for Christ. He needs you today. You need to stand up and fight with him. He's got to have our help. God's the only one that can save this world today. It ain't the people that live here. Look to God. He can do it. Okay. Are you ready to fight in Christ's army and become a soldier for Christ? If you are, and if you're prepared, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Repent of your sins and be baptized. If in any way we can assist any of you, the opportunity is yours as we sing the song of invitation.